Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'm reading from the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of our Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately, as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. In case for some reason you haven't noticed, this is Palm Sunday. Palms, we got them here, got them there. We're talking about showing greenery all over the places. Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He is coming from the east. It is a day that we like to celebrate. This is a chance where God is finally calling to Jesus. This is going to show them the true meaning of why you are here, who you really are. This is what we celebrate this day. However, Palm Sundays is a little out of vogue in this time. If churches do not have a Maundy Thursday service or a Good Friday service, which most now do not, then they usually have a type of hybrid service where at the very beginning they talk about palms, and then that quickly gets sent away as we hear more and more about the passion of Christ on this Sunday. I really am glad that we do have the Maundy Thursday service on, by the way, 7 p.m. Thursday. Another shameless plug there. Had to work that in twice. So that the church can truly celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It is a time when we celebrate the fullness of his mission, how he has come now to do what he has been sent to do, or at least part of what he was sent to do. He was obviously sent to spread the good news that God loves us so much that no matter what we do, we are forgiven. But Jesus also came to pay the price that was to be our price. Maundy Thursday service, we will talk a little bit about that, and we will talk more about this today, the mysteries of what has gone on. You see, in Mark's version of this entry, we hear that Jesus is arriving with much fanfare and joyous excitement. This is a big celebration. People are waiting for that. Part of the surroundings and actions of the crowd are normal for celebrating when pilgrims came to Jerusalem for this city where the Passover was right real and you could be in the temple. People came from all over Israel and some from other countries who were in diaspora. They would come and be there. And the people were so ready for it. They were really happy to have them there. The locals would lay down palm branches in front of them as a welcoming sign of joy as they came into the city for this wonderful situation, this wonderful celebration, I should say. And I'm sure it had nothing to do with the economic spike that came when all the travelers came and all the meals that they had to go buy in what we would call restaurants and in all the places where they rented so they would sleep. I'm sure that had nothing to do with the locals being really happy. They were just glad that all these people were coming to celebrate this wonderful event. As one who is a little cynical at times, probably there was a little of that money involved, but it was a part of action that they did as all these pilgrims would come. And Jesus, on this occasion, is one of those pilgrims. If we read in the Gospels, we hear that at other times he came in for this particular celebration, but he came in under stealth. He did not show out what he was coming to do. On this day, Jesus came entering the city with his disciples, riding on a colt, technically a small donkey. And Jesus' arrival was not a normal one, like every other pilgrim. Yes, they threw palm branches, leafy branches, onto the road as he came in. But they also threw down their own clothing. That was totally a different thing. This was a sign of a recognition. This was the king's way to enter into Jerusalem. This business of coming in this way had so much built up into it, and they saw this. The people there saw it as the king returning. If you remember your Old Testament, when Absalom rebelled against his father, the King David left going out that way, and when Absalom was defeated, David came back that way. It was called the King's Mountain, the King's Road that went through that. Here was our Lord showing all the world that he was the king, coming in to this place. It has long roots in the biblical history. Zechariah talked about it, the splitting at one day that this would come. This would be a time when at that point, the people who were in Jerusalem would see the great king and things would all be made better. Those who were outside would be on the out. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecies from so very long ago. Now, many people, commentators that write about these things, think that this was a highly staged event, that Jesus perhaps had already made arrangements for the donkey to be there, that all of this was, people had told him that he's going to come at a certain time. That is the human way of thinking about an event like this, that you have to make sure that we fix everything so that it works just right. When will Jesus come? It's particularly at this time, and when will you find all these things? Yet I think it is not as much staged as it is that Jesus, as God's own son, knew what was going to happen. And it was the time for Jesus to say to everyone that he is and will be forever the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He is making the statement that his whole reason for being here has come to this moment, to be this person, to do this thing. This is a huge, huge difference than what has happened before. In past visits at the same time of year, he has come in silently, stayed away. This time he is coming to reveal himself as the Messiah, the Savior. He enters the city and the mobs love him. They shout, "Hosannas!" The disciples must have thought, finally we're going to get what we should get. We have followed along with Jesus for 3 years now. We're close. They never recognize him. He's good. They're throwing things. He's good to go. We're going to get to. We're going to be in great shape. We were in at the very beginning. Surely our lives will be better. The only problem is the apostles, as they came to be known, did not know that in a few short days that same crowd, at least some of them, would be there shouting, "Crucify him." They did not understand any more than anyone else in that crowd what it meant to be the Savior of the world. What had to happen for sin to be obliterated. But that's another story for Maundy Thursday, perhaps. Today we shout hosannas, and we lay down our palm branches and rejoice that the Savior has come, even if it is not the way that everyone thought on that day so very long ago. Jesus has come to fulfill his mission. Still unknown to even those who are closest to him, exactly what that mission would encompass. I have to tell you that this has been a hard week for me to figure this out, because something in this particular passage bothered me all week long. And to be honest, it still bothers me a little bit. I have wrestled with it. I have read everything I could. I've tried to find out what others say about it. Nobody says anything, so obviously they're all wrong. And I know exactly that this is a big, important thing. Mark is indeed, if we believe, the first gospel written. And it occurs, it has one verse, the 11th verse, that is not in any of the subsequent gospels that were written. Then he, Jesus, entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, if you know the geography of Jerusalem in that time, and if you don't, go get one of those great Bibles that has nice maps and everything in it. You come from the west, come into the city, you have to go almost all the way through the city to get to the temple. It's a long walk. No buses, no taxis, no Ubers. He and his disciples go all the way to the temple. And then he had to turn around, after looking around, turn around and go all the way back to where he just came in. And it was late. Nothing going on late. This is getting close to the Sabbath. Why does Jesus have to go back to the temple? In other gospels, that is not in there. They go on with, say, the next day Jesus goes to the temple, and that's when he scatters all the people who are selling things, people who are making money in the temple. Mark has him going back and doing that too, only Jesus went there first for something. And it really bothers me, because I can't think of one single logical reason why he did that. It has been one of those little ear things, you know, where you hear in your ear all week long. It's not a song even, it's just, why did he go? What was this about? Why does Jesus and the disciples come all the way down the mountain to the temple just to look around and then hump it all the way back to the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus does go to the temple the next day, but why did he go that night? And we could write this off to just Mark having written something one too many times or something like that, but the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels. Very straight, direct, to the point. If you look in your Bible, it's much shorter than every other one. Mark does not use a lot of things that aren't there on purpose. As a matter of fact, pretty much all of them there are there on purpose. Just like Matthew and John, Luke. The next day he goes in and he kicks butt, runs everybody out that's doing the things in the temple that they shouldn't be doing. But why did he go the night before? Why did Jesus go to the temple that night? Things like this bother me. My poor wife has to deal with it. She hears me muttering in the night things like, why did he go to the temple that night? And I thought of a lot of different reasons, all of which make absolutely no sense. He just wanted to go, maybe perhaps, to check out the ongoing construction. After all, we heard that when he was there before, that the temple had been under construction again for 40 some years. Maybe he just wanted to see what they were doing with the place. You know, it's a new place. Let's go see. He was just curious. I really couldn't buy into that one. And I thought maybe he was checking it out to see how he would work everything the next day, where he was going to need to go, perhaps, how he was going to do it. That's what we would all do, would we not? When we're having a big specific event going on somewhere and you're in the middle of it, you want to know what everything is, where everything is, what's happening. You want to know where the microphones are. You want to know where the bathrooms are. You want to know what all that stuff, the important things. And personally, really bless you. Personally, wherever you're going, especially where the food is. Obviously, Jesus was just going to the temple that day to look around. But then again, if you're the Son of God, why would you need to lay out a plan? Why would you need to figure out where everybody was going to be the next day and when you were going to do this and that and the other thing? God and Jesus are really connected as Father and Son, as one. If you got God telling you what to do, you really don't need to know everything else. Nope, that one didn't work either. Perhaps Jesus wanted to pray. Perhaps he thought it would be a special place to pray. And this would be away from the crowds. And maybe, and I maybe'd for 5 days. And it really bothered me. And to be honest, it still bothers me. No one else even addresses this, at least what I read. And on Thursday, I was sitting, reading, pulling my hair out. It got a lot shorter, in case you didn't notice. I got it pulled out this week. Later in the week, and I got a call that day from an alumnus. And he was asking me something about the campus and what was going on. He had not been here for a very long time. I'm used to that. I get those kind of things. Everybody loves the campus. What's it like? And I had to explain to him that, well, where you had a library is now student affairs, and where you used to eat is not, it's the fine arts building and this. And he was a little upset by that, thinking the whole campus had changed. And I said, no, it hasn't. Buildings have changed. The grounds look a little different. But everything here is the same. It's still good. It's just like it was when you were here. Yes, the students still have an honor code. Yes, we're serious about it. Yes, they have to go to class. Professors are very serious about that. Yes, you have to take rhetoric. All of the things that he had questions about, I could tell him that. And I understood. When I looked at him and I said, or on the phone with him, and I said, look, your home is still, the things that made it home are still the same. And he was very happy with that. And it made me happy to be able to tell him that. And then I got to thinking after this conversation, what is home? What is really important about home? Did Jesus come back to the temple that night to get a little piece of being home? We know the temple was constructed by Solomon, and when it was completed, the Lord engulfed it in clouds of smoke as God moved into this temple to be with his people. If Jesus was with God then, as would be the point, this temple might just have a little bit of home for him. Perhaps this temple meant more to Jesus than just a building. That it was a time, perhaps, when he was tied intimately with God the Father. A time when he was at home and had that feeling of safe, of sound, of joy, of goodness, dwelling perfectly with God. Perhaps Jesus readied himself for a very long, trying week. Perhaps by going home. A place where he grew even closer to the Father. A place that made him feel tied intimately together with his God. Perhaps he needed to feel that closeness because he knew what was coming. Perhaps he needed to remember what true love really was so that he could go forth and love each and every one of us. You see, God loves us that much. So much that we have to go home to God, just like Jesus did. We have to go to that place where we are loved more than any other place. That place where we know we're safe, we're accepted. Home. I like to think that Mark got it just right. If Jesus could only love us the way God loves him, and God loves us the way he loved Jesus. To be ready to go forward, he needed to go back and get built up once again. I give thanks to God for all the little earwigs that he gives me, to all the crazy ideas that he puts in my head. But most of all, for the love that he gives me and each and every one of us. It is an amazing thing. And I give thanks to God. Amen.